Far out. I'm beat up. I've been working hard the last week, trying to get things done around the house and that. But I tell you, if I could do a backflip, I would. Because I'm just telling you, man, the life that the Lord has given me here on this earth, I mean, it's just more valuable than I ever could have imagined. Even in the pain that I'm in and such, my life, I look forward to life. How many of you look forward to getting up? How many of you look forward to reading your Bible and seeing your family face and happy and praying and get to be there? How many of you get to look forward to, you know, when you have to correct your children because you know you're doing it because you love them? I don't correct my children when I have an angry face. I don't correct my children when I'm angry. Because all they see is the anger.
Amen.
But they get corrected, you ask them. My mother said, how's Luke doing? I said, Luke lost everything indefinite. You say, well, that's a long time for a kid. He doesn't know what indefinite is. I do. I know how long it's going to be. But I can tell you this. When I start seeing that the correction that I'm giving my son, the things that I'm taking away isn't working, then I got to make it work. Yeah. I got to make it harder. I got to make him feel it. I got to make him understand that. You know why? That's what God did to me.
Right.
That's what he did to me. That's what it took for me to see. And I thank God for it. Boy, God is good. I'm just telling you. I mean, God is good. Hey, Jim, can I have you pray for the service? And I usually don't ask for somebody to pray, but I think today I need somebody to pray. Pray for the service. Also pray that I get through it. Like I said, I'm a hurting unit. I'm very tired. And just pray that the Lord would step in my place and move me out of the way, please.
Father, thank you, Lord, that your service. Just be with Dale at this time. You know that he's tired and weak, Lord.
Yes.
But you, your strength, he can do it, Lord. And we know that you'll give him the strength. We pray, Father, that we'd all be attentive to the work and blessing that he has from you. Lord, we pray that if there's any lost souls among us, pray that to the preacher.
Yes, Lord.
Pray your blessing.
Amen. You know, that was good preaching at 11 o'clock. It got to my heart. And, I went over and I approached Chris Montgomery. I shook his hand. I said, I love you, brother, man. I said, for a long time, I had a lot of awe against you because I looked at you like somebody who thought he knew everything. You know, God put him here because of the stuff he does know. And I respect that 100% now. It took a long time for God to show me that. That each and every one of us has something that God could use. But just having that brotherly love, you know, I just thought, you know what, all the stuff he does, I wonder how many people go up to Chris and say, brother, as my brother, I just love you, man. I thank you for what you do. And I just felt that I needed to do that today. And I think that if we start doing that for each other, it's easier. You know, it's easier when your family is all on one level. But when you got one here and one here, that's a hard time. But if we can get each other, we can keep each other on that. What a wonderful life it is to have Christian brothers and sisters. I wouldn't trade you guys for the world. And I see Tanya, she's looking at me. I got her tie on she gave me. I picked the shirt off the day she gave me that tail. Then I go home and pick out a shirt and leave it there all week so I wouldn't forget to wear this shirt and tie. Special. Here it is. Special to me. She gave a card and said, I love the Morey family, and we love her too, and she knows we love her. But I just wanted to make sure, man, this is here. It's hung up, and I've seen it all. For the whole time until she gave it to me, it's hung right there where I can see it every day. That's what I'm wearing. It's my sister. You guys are my Christian brothers and sisters, and I love being here. So anyway, thank you for my Sunday school class this morning. With me being in Albany and then preaching in Sionette, this whole month got messed up with my verse. So we just did John 3:16. And I just said, you know, bear with me. Now they know their verse for this month. So we're going to work on it. But you know what? I believe the Lord moved in Sunday school. You know why? Because I had more of them up here than I ever had in my own class. And I just believe that the Lord maybe touched some people's heart. And I was happy to see him up here. What a blessing to see when the Lord moves in somebody. So anyway, the Lord gave me something this week. I shared a little bit of it with Pastor. And I believe it's a huge part of the ministry. And I believe today that most so-called men of God and preachers and so on and so forth, they're missing this. They're just not getting it. They're not awake to, you know, what's really going on. What's happening in this Christian walk that we have here? What's the calling really on our lives? What do we really need people to see? What do we need them to understand? And I think they've gone overpassed that, and they've started relying on something that man has given them, and they put God on the back burner. And I'm just saying that Christianity has become powerless. You know where the power rests? In those who have a King James Bible, who study a King James Bible, who preach a King James Bible, who live a King James Bible, who breathe a King James Bible, who studies a King James Bible. These are us. We're going out there. We're the ones who are getting delivered from it. Listen to me. I don't mean to offend anybody, but let me tell you something. I studied other Bibles and smoked dope and drank beer and fornicated and done everything else that I possibly could, and none of that stuff started leaving my life until I switched Bibles. I don't care what you think about it. It doesn't matter to me. You know why I don't care? Because this thing here, if you've known my life, if you were to know my past, you would understand why I stand the way I do, and I do it without compromise. I don't compromise what I believe. I won't compromise for what I believe for any single person that I try to help or work with. I don't compromise it. I don't ask you to help me. I don't ask you to do anything for me. If you want my help, know this, that I'm going to come at you with a King James Bible. I'm going to come at you with I know where the power is at. That's how I'm going to come at you. And if you ask me to compromise, you have no respect for me whatsoever. None. None. You just don't. I'm sorry, but I can't do it. Don't ask me where it came from. If it came, you know what? It didn't come from me. It has nothing to do with what I'm getting ready to preach on. If you got a problem with it, you take it up with God, the one you supposedly serve. You take it up with God then. Obviously, he's the one who made me say it. I had no intentions whatsoever saying that. But people are seeing Jesus Christ for a man. They are not seeing Jesus Christ as God. Their life shows it. If you believe for sure that Jesus Christ was more than just a man, your life would be a whole lot different than where you're sitting today. They're looking at Jesus Christ like it's a fable. They're looking at Jesus Christ like that's all he was. It's just a man. All he was is just a prophet sent from God. All he was is just this name written in a so-called book. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is fully God. They have no clue. People are fighting to help because they don't trust. They don't see the hope, and they are comfortable in their misery because they already know what to expect from everyone and everything. People are more comfortable in their misery because they know the outcome, and the outcome is failure. So they're more comfortable with that, in that. They're afraid to open up because they're afraid that one more time that they might open up and somebody might say or do something that hurt them. So therefore, they're afraid to open up. So they stay in their misery. They're comfortable. They know what to expect. They know the outcome, and so it doesn't faze them because they have learned to adapt and get into survival mode that way. They can trust that, and so they heavily rely on that. They fear to see past their comfort zone because they fear rejection and are blinded to the hope. They believe Jesus will also reject them. They don't trust that he wants them or wants to help them. Instead of turning to him for help, they blame God for what they are in and their lives. Romans 1:24 says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves." And all the while, God is trying to get them to what he already sees in their heart. For the last few weeks in Sunday school, I was doing a lesson on the heart. And the word heart is used 785 times in the Bible. And most of the time, it's not a good thing. But this is what the whole point is. The whole point is, I think it's important that God helps us to see our... He wants us to see what he already sees in our heart. He's trying to put it out. He don't have to see your heart. He already knows it. He already sees it, but he's putting it out there for you to see. But who wants to face what they really are? You see the problem? And so now we have... other folks that are coming in, they're trying to glaze that over. Oh, don't worry. You don't have to see. Here, go ahead and take this pill. Oh, here, go ahead and do it. You don't have to face that. Oh, that's not really what Jesus wanted to do. But, oh, let me prove it to you out of the Bible. I said the Bible. I'm going to prove it to you out of the Bible. I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. I'm going to show you what the Bible does. I'm going to show you what Jesus Christ wanted to do. So we see that he gave them up. I went to work with somebody a week or so ago, and I said, do you know what's going on in your life? They said, no. They said, I'm just so mad at God. It seems like he doesn't want to hear me, and so on. So I said, you know what's really going on? God gave you over to yourself. Ooh. He's giving you what you want. Aren't you happy? Clap your hands. You got what you finally want. Well, my life is so miserable. That's because that's what you want.
Try it.
You keep choosing what's in your heart. God is trying to show you, no, there's a different thing here. There's something new. And they keep choosing their heart. That's why it says in Romans 1:24, it just says, wherefore God also gave up to the uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts. You're getting what you want, and yet you aren't happy. As somebody say, well, I don't need Jesus Christ to be happy. No, because you take too many pills to try to be happy. If your life is so good, then why do you want so much medicine? Why? Why is it so hard? Let me tell you, I've been through some things. I've had things done to me. And I'm just going to tell you what, the healing is going to come in Jesus Christ. That's where it's going to come from. I'm living proof that healing can happen. My wife is living proof that healing can happen. If you want to sit there and be a sad sack and continue to whine and cry, then you go ahead and do that. God has given you exactly what you want. Go ahead and enjoy it. But don't complain. Don't blame God about it. God's trying to take you out. All he's trying to do is take your heart and expose it to you. He's trying to expose you to you. He already knows. He don't have to expose it to him. He already knows it. That stuff that comes up inside of you and you go, gosh, why am I saying that? Because God in heaven is trying to show you in front of your face. Here, take a look at that. Oh, no. Oh, no. Let me go back to where I'm comfortable. To go back over here where I know it's going to happen. I know that people aren't going to like me. I know I'm going to be a failure. I know this and I know that. Let me go back over here. And God's saying, I got a better life for you. Beulah Land.
Amen.
You can get that Beulah Land right here. You can cross over that Jordan. You don't have to be left behind. You don't have to choose to stay there. You can go ahead and go forward and get that Beulah Land right here. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. We have a patched life. Huh? God took two broken people and mended it. Something that should have never worked. Never in a million years would anybody in her family, except for your mom. Her mom's the only one that had any faith. She sent you to our house. But everybody else, her entire family on both sides, said there's no way this is ever going to work. You're right. When it came to me and her, it would have never worked. But when God stepped in, he worked it, didn't he? Yeah. He went and healed that thing. Not perfect. But he healed it. Why do you think I get so crazy over living a Christian life? Because I know the healing he's brought. I know what he's done. I know where he's brought me from. My mom's always saying, I just can't believe, I can't believe, I can't believe. I said, that's what the Lord's done, that's what the Lord's done, that's what the Lord's done, that's what the Lord's done. She knows that there's no way I would ever change in my entire life. I would still either, two things were that was going to happen to me. I was going to end up back in prison or dead. That's it. There was no other hope for me. Until Jesus Christ stepped in. Now there's hope. You know why I strive so hard? Because I want others to see that hope.
Amen.
They can't go and look at Jesus as a man, though. I'm just going to tell you right now, when you look to Jesus as a man, you're missing it. He's more than a man. More than a man. And I want to show you that, but I'm just saying. And while God is trying to get them to see what he already sees in their heart, people are too blind by the wickedness of their heart, the devil, and this world to see that Jesus is God and not just a man. Religion is what people believe, not God. That's what they believe. Listen to me. I've been in many jails and many prisons, and I'm telling you now, they hold on to a religion. Because those same very men that are in jail, those same very men that are in prison, I'll tell you now, if they ever knew that Jesus Christ was God and not man, they'd come out of that prison a different person. It's just a little religion they hold on to while they're in there. That's what it is. It makes it feel good. It makes it feel comfortable. It makes it feel like they're strong and they can get through this. And you know what? As soon as they walk out them doors, boop, there went Jesus. You know how many times I walked out of a jail or a prison and somebody would have handed me a Bible, no matter what kind of Bible it was. You know that Bible never went home with me? I gave it to some other sorry sap here. I don't want to say, I didn't bring that out with me. But it was all good while I was in prison. say I had a religion. I can still do what I want. At any point in time, you could have came into my room, into my locker, found a stack full of porno and every other filthy thing. Christianity, that's what I was. I was a Christian. Wanting to fight guys, being in the game, putting hits out on people, putting the word out, collecting taxes from my brother, holding meetings. That's what I did. It's a Christian. That's how much my life changed. I was just an absolute Christian. You know why? Because I've seen Jesus Christ as nothing more than a mere man. I've never seen him as God. Ever. Religion allows them to live their life any way they want. Therefore, they live blinded minds and never see God. In their minds, like mine was, God is just a figment of their imagination, and the Bible is a fable. That is until the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the people, not lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shine unto them. Only God can shine this light on them. Do you know? Let me see. Only God can, because as we read in 1 Kings 8, 3 and 9, then hear thou in heaven the dwelling place of forgive and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. God knows your heart. It says, for thou, even thou only, knowest the heart of all the children of men. God gives them what's in their heart. God gives people what's in their heart. He wants to make their life miserable. He wants them to look elsewhere. And when they start turning from what they have, what's in their heart, they start realizing, hold on. Listen, before I got saved, me and my wife talked about this a lot. We used to read the Bible, not diligently, we read it. It was a fun thing to do. But then we started getting serious, and guess what? Even as an unsaved person, I had things change in my life. As an unsaved person. But that wasn't far enough from God. You know why? He wanted me as his child.
Nah.
But I had to get past the point of seeing Jesus Christ as just a fable. Many people are sitting in this church, and I'm just going to say it, that Jesus Christ is nothing but a religion to them.
Come on.
John 14:15. I preached it at Sunday school. What do you do with John 14:15? If you love me, keep my commandments. What do you do with that? You're going to sit here and tell me how much you love Jesus Christ, but you won't keep his word? Well, you know why? Because Jesus' commandments are nothing more than a man to you. You don't hear him as God. You don't see Jesus Christ as who he really is. You don't read this Bible and go, yeah, this is God's word. You know why you do that? Because everybody else is doing it. You don't want to be the outcast. Go ahead and admit it, because God already knows your heart. Maybe he's trying to get you to see what's really in your heart. Do you ever come to the fact that maybe I don't believe like I should? Do you ever think that? Do you ever think why you get all those thoughts in your head that God's just trying to say, I don't think you believe like you do. But you won't admit it. Because religion's got a grip on you. That man has a grip on you. Jesus Christ, God, doesn't have a grip on you. That man, that religion, that word, that's this so-called word of God that you love so much and study, doesn't have a grip on you. But the man, Jesus Christ, that's who has got a grip on you. And he's trying to show you that he's more than just a man. He's more than a man. Let me even go farther than that. He says in Isaiah 3:11, woe unto the wicked. Why? It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. Wonder why your life is in a mess? How about the own wickedness in your heart? How about you? That's your reward for what you... Listen, you keep continuing to ask God for. Listen, you say, well, I don't want to live my life this way anymore. Gosh, I'm just so sick and tired of being depressed and this and that. And God gives you the answers. He gives you the word of God. He gives you preachers up here that preach time and time again. And yet you run from them. You turn from them. You don't take it serious. You just keep going on and keep going on and wonder why there's nothing going on in your life. Why? Aren't you tired of it? Aren't you tired of running from God? Aren't you sick of running? It don't have to be that way anymore. You go ahead and hold on to religion, but I'll tell you this one thing right now. That religion that you think you have will not save you from the flames of hell. That's a fact. You know why? Because it says yours will be the greater damnation. Oh, the old religious Pharisees and scribes. He says yours will be the greater damnation. That does not exclude you, old religious one. I'm telling you now, you better look past what you think you know Jesus. And you better see him for who, what he really is. You better look past what you really think this Bible is. And you better see it for what it really is. The clock's ticking. At any time, at any given moment, Jesus Christ can come back. Where are you standing? Where are you at? Why do you keep putting it off? Why are you playing games? Why are you playing Russian roulette? Do you think that it's okay? I read the news every day, and I tell you what, I'm sick of reading the news. You know why? Because all I see is young people dying and dying and dying. There is no age limit to death anymore. Just let you know that. But yet, we think we live every single day. Like, tomorrow I'm going to be okay. And the next 20 minutes, I'm going to be okay. When that clock, second hand hits that six, I'm still going to be alive. No, I'm just telling you now, it's not happening like that anymore. But you keep living your life that way. You know why? Because you're looking at a religion. You're not looking at Jesus Christ as God. You're not looking at his Bible any more than a novel. It's obvious how you're treating it. People say, well, you put too much emphasis on that Bible. You know why? Because God gave it to me. That's how I'm supposed to live. He knew I couldn't do it on my own. And he's not such a mean God that he would just save me and say, okay, now go figure it out yourself. No, he saved me and gave me instructions on how to do it here. You're supposed to be serious. If I go out there and live like hell for the drugs and the alcohol and the women and all that crazy stuff, why can't I live for heaven and love my Bible and love Jesus Christ and love what he stands for and love what he's given me? Why can't I? Why am I the crazy one? Why am I the nut? Because I love a King James Bible, because I love to hear preaching. You know why? Because look what he gave me. Wouldn't you if you came from my shoes?
Amen.
Wouldn't you if you came from where I came from? Don't come at me with your baloney. I don't want to hear it. I just want to hear one thing. Dale, thank you, because you know what? Jesus done the same for me. That's what I want to hear. That's the only reason why I'm in any of this. So that one day somebody might see the hope. The hope. The hope. And don't have to be in that life anymore. Told my Sunday school class. I said, I got to get up, and I'm in pain 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I get up, I read my Bible, I pray. I get up, I go to work faithfully. I get up, I got to come home, I got to take care of household stuff. I got to take care of the kids. I got my own stuff that I got to do on the outside. How much easier would it be for me not to stand up here at 1 o'clock, go to Sio at 6 o'clock, and do Sunday school? Do you realize I have to study all day, every day, just to get what God has given me? Plus do everything else? How about for free? Do you know why? Do you know why? Because there's a stirring in my heart. Maybe somebody actually gives a crap about you. I almost said the D word. Got me riled up. Because somebody, you know, seriously, somebody cares, man. Sometimes you ask the kids that when I get down there in Sunday school, man. I want you to know there's something beyond what you can see. You have to understand there's something beyond what you can see. An old street thug, an alcoholic, a drug addict. If he can show it to me, surely he wants to give it to you. Surely he wants to. Why would he say somebody like me? To come out and tell you there's something more than what you know. And his name is Jesus Christ, God. As God, he has the power to heal your life. He has the power to change it forever. He has the power to make you into something that you never in a million years would have thought. I'm burping Big Mac up and everything out of you. See, let's go to McDonald's today. I'm like, okay, you know. Anyway. This is even more so those who've been raised in a Christian home or those who have been raised in a different Bible in a so-called church, whereby the parents and their hypocrisy and their filth and their lies and their lives have destroyed seeing any hope for their own life. I see it time and time again. I hear, well, I was forced into church and I was this and I was that. And you know what? They see that and they go and they get mad at God because of what their parents made them do. Why? Because they sat there and they watched their parents, who were supposed to be Christians, live a hypocritical life full of lies, hatred, bitterness, all that stuff. And they watch and go, you want me to be a Christian? You want me to be a Christian?
Come on.
And turn out like you? That's what they're thinking, people. I'm telling you right now, the way you live your Christian life is going to affect your kids for the rest of their life. It's either going to starve them or it's going to help them. And you know who else knows you better than your own kids? They know you're a liar. They know you're hypocritical. They know that you say this one thing at church and you live this one way at church and you go home and it's a whole different ballgame. God forbid. Amy, may God strike me dead if I do that to our family. And I mean that with all my heart. You know why? Because I want my two kids to see the hope that's in me and their mother. The hope that's in me and their mother. The hope that's in me and their mother. I want Luke. It'll be their choice. Not because of something I did, but it'll be their choice if they reject God, not mine. It won't be something that I did. Won't be something that I did, not because I'm perfect and I have an S on my chest and I will, no, but I don't need to drag God's name through the mud. I don't want to take and have my kids look at Jesus Christ and go, that's what he did to you, Mom? That's what he did for you, Dad? I don't want that. And I'm calling my wife every name in the book, spitting at her and every other thing else that can go on. No respect for her or my children. No way. No way. I take this Christian life way too serious. You know why? I'm in Beulah land. It's not hard for me. I'm sorry if it's a hard struggle for you. I'm sorry you're having that, but it's not hard for me. You know why? Because I've been here. If I can, I'm going to get down and I'm going to do this. I might not get up. This is how I found Jesus. Look it up. How many of you have been down there and have to look up to see Jesus Christ? You haven't been there yet? Well, you keep going on the trail that you are. He'll put you there. Will you call on then? You know why you're not there? Because he knows even if he put you down, you still wouldn't call on him. I'm just telling you. How much more do you have to go through? What else is it going to take? What else? When you walk out these doors, Christianity has to go with you. He just said it. He just said it. People want to, you know how people see the love of Christ through us? And if you're out there living a hypocritical life, how can it ever happen? Just telling you it won't happen. They refuse to see. The lives of the parents live a hypocrisy and filth and lies in their lives that has destroyed the children to see any hope. They refuse to see or trust Jesus because they watched their parents as they did and the false lives, and then when they went to church and want no part of it, the proof is in their lives, and it takes a miracle for that to change. There's hope. There's hope for those Christian kids who are out there floundering. There's hope for them. But they're not going to see it until you change your life. Just telling you. And there's even Christian parents out there that have done it right. And their kids still go out there. But you know whose choice that is? That's those kids. It's not the parents. There's a difference. Huge difference. Why? Because more than likely, it's going to be easier for a Christian kid who was raised the right way to get saved and be healed. Because it's their own stupidity. Rather than a parent who destroyed that whole hope in them. God says, train them in the way that they may go. Why? So they'll depart. But when they see that you're not living what you think you're preaching, what you think you're believing, try to get them to get saved.
Hello.
You got most of that sitting in the church pews today. And I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about all churches. These so-called Christians, these kids were raised, and they're sitting in church pews, lost, dying, and going to hell because of what their parents did to them. And they won't come out and say it. They think they're okay. They have no clue. No clue. They believe they have gone too far. This is talking about the Christian children. And they might as well keep going the way they are. They don't see there's any hope. Why? Because they didn't see any hope in you. If Jesus Christ couldn't change you, if he couldn't change your life, if he couldn't make you what you were supposed to be in a Christian home, then they're going to look and go, there's no hope for me then. There's no hope for me then. There's no hope for me then. So I might as well just keep going the way I'm going. There is hope. For those of you who might have parents that ain't living right or didn't live right, there's still hope. You know why? Because with man, nothing's possible. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. I'm not good with math. But if God really wanted me to know math, I could know math. I wasn't good living a life, was I not? But you know what? I'm getting pretty good at it. Why? Because God, the Lord did it for me. Taught me how to be a man. Taught me how to be a husband. Be a Sunday school teacher. Be a son for my mom. That's what he's taught me. And watch it to men. You know, you said it right, brother. The older men in this church will work with the younger ones. And I'm telling you now, I learned so much watching that. I'm skipping Jerry Feister and Dick Botez, how they take care of their wives and all that. Man, God, give me strength. If my wife ever gets ill, you better believe I'm going to stand on my heads and do whatever it takes to make sure she's comfortable and happy. I watch them guys do it, and I have a heart for them second to none. I pray for them on a daily basis that God would make it just as smooth for them as they did for their own wives.
Amen.
Yeah, brother, you better believe it. I want to love my wife that way. I want to fall in love with my wife every day if I can. More and more and more, and she knows it. That's what I want. And I don't, you know what? I don't just do this. I don't just do this. Because all that talking never did anybody any good in life. But you know what? I just do it. Just do it. Stop talking the game. Just do it. People have heard enough talking. Let's just start doing it. The impact. The impact. They look at Jesus as a person and not God. When they continue to see him that way, they'll never trust, because every person they've ever came in contact with has hurt them, including family. And they believe that Jesus wants to do the same to them. That is proof that people do not see Jesus Christ as God. They see him just as a mere man, because they don't trust him, because they believe he wants to hurt them just like a human being did.
Well,
that's got to be cleared out of them. That's got to be removed for them to see. That has to be taken out, that Jesus Christ is not a human being that wants to hurt you. He's God Almighty who wants to help you. How do I know that? Because I'm living proof myself. Living proof myself. Why? Because Jesus Christ invaded my life. He took over. I'm rebellious. I'm a hardhead. I'm a knucklehead. I'll tell you that first. I don't have nothing to hide. But I just tell you what. If I can fall in love more and more with Jesus Christ every day, I mean, what a happy person I am. It makes my hard days even easier. And I have some pretty hard times. I told my wife last week, I said, man, I'm going through a hard one. She was depressed. I said, yeah, it's hard. I said, gosh, you know, I just hate having to be in that. The very next day, I was out of it.
Amen.
I sustained it for weeks at a time. But I just know that if I continue to do what I know is right, stay in my Bible, read, go help some other people, do what I have to do, it goes away. And I took nothing for it. And I'm not saying anything against anybody who does it. I'm just telling you what he done for me. They look at Jesus as a person and not God. They think he wants to hurt them as well. This is where they must believe what we read in Matthew 16:15. He saith unto them, but who say ye I am? And Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They must be brought to this point, otherwise they will never trust Jesus for salvation or healing. They must see how Peter saw Jesus Christ. And it's proof in their life that they're not seeing Jesus Christ like Peter did. They're not seeing him as God. They're not seeing him for who he is. And then what's it say? It says, otherwise they'll never trust Jesus for healing or salvation. This is the ministry of the same person. And Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16:17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Why? Why? For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. But listen, but my Father which is in heaven. Only God can show you who Jesus is. Only God is going to crack you open to finally show you who Jesus Christ really is. He's trying to get you to see what you really are. He's trying to show you your heart. It's the very thing he knows. But then he's trying to show you. Guess what he's trying to show you? The medicine, the cure all. His name is Jesus. But when you're looking at Jesus Christ down here and you up here, and you're looking at Jesus Christ as a man, you'll never trust him for anything in your life. And it's obvious. It's obvious that people don't trust Jesus Christ. They don't trust him as God. They trust him as a mere man, as a religion. That's how they trust him. But I'm just saying, when God takes you to that next step, and you realize, whoa, that's God. This is what? Boom. Done. It's over with. Like I saved me almost 4 years ago. It hasn't changed yet, son. Why? Because I finally seen. You know, I've heard of Jesus. I've been in and out of prisons. Man, Jesus is all over the place in there. He's almost walking. talking the way they talk in there. But you know what I saw him as? A man. Another one that wants to hurt me and reject me. That's how I saw Jesus Christ. Another one that wants to put me down and call me names and tell me how bad I am and so on and so forth. You know what? It took God to show me that's not who he really is. He's just trying to show me what I am. Why? So that I can finally see, whoa, and agree with him. And whoa, guess what happens? New life. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's a continual process. God moves this, Doug. Takes that out of my life. And puts something that he wants in there. That's how the clean heart happens. Tell the clean heart. Psalm 51, David's asking for it. It's how that happens. It starts taking out my old nasty, disgusting things and replacing it with his. But you know what? You know what it took? A miracle for me. As it did Simon, to see Jesus for who he really is. How many in here are really seeing Jesus for who he is? How many in here are really taking your Bible and seeing it for what it really is? You have two choices you can make. You can either believe this thing or believe whatever you want. It is America. You don't have to believe this. You can believe Jesus Christ is either just a man or he's just God. Or you can believe the truth. What do you want to believe? Look at your life and tell me that you really believe that Jesus Christ is God with the life you live. How? I guess I don't understand it. As somebody who was not raised in a church home, Christian home, my mom loved you to death, but she never brought us to church. She admitted she never stepped in front of church, this and that. But listen to what I'm saying. From somebody who went from that type of life to seeing who Jesus really is, you mean to tell me it can't happen for you?
Come on.
What do you want to see Jesus as? Here's what they do, Pastor. They see Jesus for a man so they can continue to have an excuse to live their life in the old way they want. They're afraid to see him as God because they know what to change him. I mean, that's pretty simple. So you mean to tell me? No, yeah, I'm telling you, you really don't want to change. You really don't want to give up who and what you really are because you hold on to it instead of just looking at Jesus for who he is and let him change you. That's obvious to a duck, isn't it? Pretty obvious answer. I mean, it's right out there. But you know, God's just trying to show everybody that. He wants to open their eyes to the same thing that he's opened my eyes to. Same thing he's opened Ruth Ann's eyes to. No, same thing he's opened Baxter's eyes to. And those others who are saved in here, he's trying to show you guys the same thing about you. What happens? Change life. Change life. Change that. I can't speak for anybody else. Change lives. Change lives. See what I mean? But when you continue to stand on that field that you just think that all this is a fable, that Jesus Christ is nothing but a mere man, then you'll get what you always have. And that's the desires of your heart. He wants to change that. Pastor, I'm done.